At a 22 and a half minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, we're chatting with Chapman. Plumbing boss Barry Chapman is in the house. Nice to see you again, Barry.
Hello.
Yeah, nice to be back here, man. It's we had a little bit of a break last week with Heritage Day.
Was it a good one?
Oh, it was very good. I spent the day up in Imphalosi Game Reserve driving around looking at some amazing sightings of cheetah with cubs and wonderful elephant sightings with people getting stuck in between two herds of elephants.
We're very, very lucky to be so close to these marvelous places where you can literally escape from the crazy fast tempo of life in the 21st century, get back to the bush, where apparently you benefit tremendously, not just psychologically,
so enriching
physically,
for the soul.
But also physically. Apparently, you know, when you shut out all of that noise, and it's not just physical audio noise; it's the visual noise that keeps on. And everywhere you go in modern society, you've got signs flashing at you, either advertising or warning or do. But it's just overload. You need sometimes to escape and recharge. Right. So well done for that. Now, I noticed in the news today something a little bit alarming that has been brewing for some time. And our neighboring, shall we call them, dormitory suburbs around the Ballito bubble, many of them fall into what is the Eteguini Metro catchment. And we have been talking for some time about water and water scarcity and problems that may be alleviated if one was to take proactive steps to harvesting rainwater, etc. Well, here it is. The mayor of Eteguini, Cyril Kaba, told a council meeting yesterday that they are introducing water restrictions as of the 10th of this month, and these are draconian. They're going to be talking about shutting off reservoirs in select residential areas once consumption exceeds a stipulated daily limit. They're going to be reducing water pressure and the possible reinstallation of water restriction washers on household meters. Now, you'll remember that massive drought we had in 2016,
yes,
where all of these were features of a desperate attempt to prevent day zero. It would appear that our neighboring dormitory suburbs, no names, no pactual, but if you, dear listener, are living in a Durban or an Eteguini metro suburb, a metro-controlled suburb and metro-fed suburb, be advised this could well be applying to, and probably will be applying to, you and yours. So, what can one do now, Barry, to mitigate against that?
So, ultimately, Dave, at the end of the day, with water rationing, reservoirs being turned off, it means that your taps are going to become a dry thing at your house, which is never a good thing. One, it's not good for the sewer system because the dry sewer system starts flaking up and things start getting blocked. But on top of that, it's not good for your piping system within your house because now you've got water on, water off, water on, water off. Pressure fluctuations break pipes. Air in lines, water is heavier than air, it compresses that air, you end up with burst pipes. With water on and off, there's very possible chances of contamination in your drinking water. Plus, when they do turn the water on, they're going to be dosing it quite highly with the disinfectant, and that's going to end up in your property, which is not very good for your body. So, basically, where I'm going with this whole thing is get yourself your own reservoir, so you don't need to worry about the municipality shutting off your reservoir. So have your own reservoir at home with a filter system so that you are securing your water security. You're looking after yourself when it comes to water. Yes, there's the chance that you may run out of water in that tank if you are not monitoring or being very aware of how much water you got left. But trust me, once you've done it once and the tank's run dry, you're going to watch it like a hawk. So you can go down as little as a 750-liter tank as a water reservoir, or you can go basically as big as you want to go. It's doing is making sure that you have the opportunity to have water in your property. But the other benefit with putting in tanks on your property is it gives you a whole nother avenue to be able to harvest water. And this is an area, yes, we're reliant on rain for water to fall into the catchment areas that goes into dams and things like that. But if the piping infrastructure that's feeding from those dams is not in a good condition or well maintained and leaking, then you're going to end up with a water scarce issue. We are also going into a water scarce environment at the moment. I think what's the La Nino?
La Nina. The opposite of El Nino. So La Nina is the one where you know we could be experiencing, and it sounds odd, but El Nino is where you end up with massive drought. La Nina is the opposite of that, where you end up with, as we've been facing, devastation when it comes to flooding. Either situation is not optimal. But the problem is that even if there's plenty of water falling from the sky, maybe too much, if the catchment area isn't working, or if there isn't sufficient capacity in the dams that are holding that water, which is the case right now with Eteguini, and it's not because there isn't sufficient capacity, I think there might be, but apparently they're losing water at an alarming rate through, I suppose, just
failing infrastructure,
old infrastructure that hasn't been maintained, to the point where, in fact, apparently it's one of the highest in the, if not the highest in the country, very close to it, in terms of water loss. And the upgrading of that infrastructure has been so neglected that to repair it apparently right now is going to take an awfully long time. So this is a problem that even if the rain is falling properly and the rivers are flowing properly,
it's not going to help because you can't deliver it.
Exactly that. Mm. And it is a serious situation. So now, how practical, and as I ask this question with all sincerity, because I look at my property in Stella Road and I realize that I could only really put one tank on, because all my gutters are kind of piping all over the place. And to bring them all together would be a bit of a nightmare. So effectively, I can use maybe one gutter, which comes off. Would that be sufficient to feed a tank?
So it all depends on the surface area that gutter is feeding off of the roof. You do also have the opportunity to, so we bring in our trusted gutter companies in our local area, and we upsize the gutters from a standard domestic gutter to an industrial gutter, which allows us to cover more of a roof span to be able to capture more and be able to move down pipes from one side of the house to the other, because you are now completely changing the orientation of that gutter.
Okay, so that's possible.
Definitely possible. And gutters in the grander scheme of things are very affordable when you redoing that whole exercise. And putting a bigger gutter by far makes yourself feel so much more comfortable with the heavy rains. And a lot of us have trees and a lot of things blowing in the wind that they provide a lot of catchment for that roof. The other thing that you can do through that process is you can put in staging tanks. So I've got a couple of clients and customers where we have put one or two staging tanks in their property with a very small submersible lift pump. So it pumps a volume of water at a very low pressure. So you then taking water from that side of the house and you pipe it across in a relatively small pipe to the other side of the house where your tanks are, and it discharges into those tanks.
Okay.
So you do have the possibility to be able to harvest the entire property.
Which clearly would be optimal, because when we're getting back to the issue, water is the most precious commodity, I think, on the planet. We know this. 100%. The human body is, some people will say 70%, others will say even more, probably 90% water, the truth be told. We are beings that are completely dependent on hydration for life. Not just for the ability to have a shower and a recreational plunge from time to time. It's a life-giving commodity that we've taken for granted for too long. And possibly now, this is a wake-up call to all of us. What sort of cost are we realistically talking about for someone that's wanting to not necessarily do the whole thing? You can do it in stages, I presume. But if you wanted to start with a decent sized tank and possibly coming off an existing gutter.
So probably around a 2,500 litre with a smallish pump on it. Just a very basic system.
2,500 litres to the layman. How many... take a cross-section of that pipe. What sort of width is it of that tank?
It's about 1.5 metres.
So it's not a massive footprint that you need to be able to allocate to the tank?
No, it's not very big at all.
Okay.
So, yeah, about 2,500 litres in a small pump. That would give you a basic backup water reservoir from municipal. When you start stepping into harvesting rainwater from a drinking perspective, you now need to start talking about pre-filtration. So you don't want the leaves and the bird poop and the monkey stuff to, and all the fruit that they've eaten on your roof to end up going into your tank.
Because then you'd be effectively making a kind of wine or beer.
Fermented big pot. So that pre-filtration is so important to get that out. And those devices, there's a multitude of them, but they range anywhere from 700-800 rand all the way up to the upper tens of thousands, depending what system you're installing. But if you're going with a basic 2,500 litre pump and a tank, and you have one gutter there that's right next to the tank, you're probably in for, I'd say, 15 grand for a plug-and-play system.
Okay. So it's not the end of the world, shall we say, when it compared to the alternative of running out of water, which is the end of the world.
Yeah.
I, you know, I don't want to sound alarmist, but essentially these are the choices to make. So possibly instead of a bit of a discretionary spend on a, you know... I don't know what you would spend. Well, who knows? These days, a couple of meals out, and you know, entertainment-wise, you're at that budget.
Yeah, I think from our side, majority of our tank installations that we do within the Belita area, it's got a municipal backup perspective in it. We're probably looking at around the 5,000 litre being the most common. We then have a portion of rainwater harvesting going into
5,000 litre tanks. That's the what you normally call the JoJo, the standard size JoJo tank.
Yeah, it's one of their most economical sizes. So 5,000 litre tank, your pre-filtration, then post-filtration as well, plus a pump. A lot of people are operating on solar systems, so you want a soft start pump or a variable speed drive, which only spins as fast as you demand water. So when you start stepping into that kind of things and the filtration, post-filtration and everything like that, you start working around between the 25 to 40 grand mark.
Okay.
I would say you start playing in that ballpark.
But then remember, it is an investment. Your property price would increase proportionately because there you have that fantastic facility that you offer with your view and 100%. Your lovely garden and your, you know, it's a feature and a benefit, and presumably that is not money that is going to be wasted. It's certainly an investment in your property and your lifestyle.
So I've got 2,500 litres at home. They've been installed in my property for over 10 years. This last rain that we had over the weekend, my tanks were empty. I was doing excessive gardening and washing cars and things after a dirty week. And they filled up basically in 2 days, yeah, with that little bit of rain that we had.
You see, one doesn't really understand when the rain falls, you say, ooh, how much fell, you know, 3 centimeters of rain. But if you extrapolate that 3 centimeters over the area of your roof, it's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water.
It's not just 3 centimeters because, you know, you think, well, it's going to take a long time to fill up that tank 3 centimeters at a time. We generally get a half a centimeter of rain and we think it's a lot. Of course, it's not just the centimeter of rain. It's multiplied. It's that multiplier factor.
So our average household consumes between 10 to 30,000 liters of water a month. within, you know, a 4 or 5 person family, depending on what you are. So, yeah, you get 15,000-20,000 liters is more an average in our area. So that gives you some kind of an idea. That's 4,000 or 5,000 liter water tanks to push you through the month. So then you start relying on the rain to top you up, and you've got to make sure that you've got that municipal backup to keep you topped up when you need it. So, yeah, put it out there. For me, having that facility to have my house constantly and my property constantly under pressure, not having my piping infrastructure being put under undue stress, is by far one of the most important. And then also being able to, you know, get home from work and you need to wash your little baby, you actually have water. You know, I don't need to go cart around and get a 25-liter drum.
You know, we're talking in terms of practical reality. These issues that we mentioned earlier, they're in the news today. They're real. You can check them out. There is now a water crisis in the Greater Durban metro area, or Etegwini. Luckily, in the Bleater area, we're not managed by the same system, although our water comes from the same catchment area, and that Hazelmere Dam is under pressure. So, you know, what happens down the road can easily come home to roost here. Forewarned is forearmed. Look at this seriously. Get in touch with Barry, and he'll be more than delighted to take you through the exercise. And at the end of that exercise, you make the choice. It's entirely your choice. And
I will come out to your property and I'll do a survey for free.
Well,
and give you
go.
Guys a quote. There's no cost for me to come out to your property and do an assessment in your on your property.
That's an offer that makes you want to sing. Barry Chapman, our plumbing boss, always lovely chatting to you on a Tuesday. If you've missed our conversation, don't fear. It'll be up as a podcast shortly. You can go to our website and look for the afternoon show, find Chatting with Chapman, and there it is. You can listen again and share the information if you'd like, because that's what it's all about. Barry, thanks, man. We'll chat
Thank
again
you
in a week's
so
time.
Much. Awesome.
Afternoon show continues.